Hey friends, welcome back to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your host, Katie, and today I had the pleasure of interviewing friend and colleague Ellen DeWord. Now, I do want to give a disclaimer, trigger warning. We do go deep into Ellen's story with her eating disorder. So if you are not in the place, either in your own journey or maybe you're in recovery yourself, I encourage you, you might consider listening to some other amazing episodes that we have and come back to this interview when the time is right for you. It was very important for me, though, to give Ellen this platform to allow her a space, a safe space to share her message, because unfortunately, she's not alone in her story. She's not alone in her struggle with food and exercise in her body as a fitness leader in this industry. And so it's really important for me to have these conversations with women like herself so that we can start to change the conversation, the culture, the community in the fitness industry. So Ellen is a leader in this fitness industry with extensive experience developing innovative programs. She's the founder of her own certification called Warrior Rhythm and Warrior Strength. She actually wrote and illustrated the courses during the global 2020 pandemic. She also owns and operates the Whole Warrior Instructor School. In addition to that, she holds numerous specialty group exercise certifications like Spin, Yoga Fit, Pound, TRX, Spin Power, and she's the head coach for Tribe Team Training. She's nationally certified by ACE, AFA, and Yoga Alliance. She's a Lululemon ambassador and is a certified fitness nutrition specialist through the American Council on Exercise. And she also has a full-time job as the fitness director at the Downtown Athletic Club of Eugene. In 2018 and 2019, Ellen actually garnered national attention as a presenter and educator for Beachbody Live at San Francisco SCW Mania and the Idea World Fitness Convention in San Diego. During her time with Beachbody, which we'll talk about, she was a top 10 master trainer for 4 years in a row and served on their exclusive video talent team. She's featured as a lead in the cast for P90X, Pi Alive. She's also contributed as a choreographer and content tester for these programs. So you can actually find her still in some of those consumer videos. And she was actually filmed in that infomercial with the queen herself, Chalene Johnson. Ellen brings a wealth of experience and unparalleled passion to her projects. And you can hear it in her voice just as she shares her story. But when she's not working out or developing programs, she does enjoy her time as a married mother of three in Eugene, Oregon. And her love of art and watercolors is partly why in 2012, Ellen began her bodysuit tattoo, which we'll talk about today. So I'm so excited for you to hear her story. Again, as always, if you enjoyed this episode, please screenshot, tag us on Instagram, let us know what you think. Today, we're talking all about just radical self-love and how can we get to that point, especially when we've been at a place that feels broken, feels irreparable, feels like I'm never going to get there. It's possible. And Ellen is a testament to why. So without further ado, on to the show. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about the relationship of food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Ellen, first of all, I'm so just happy to see your face, but thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited to see your face too. I can't even remember like the last time I actually saw your face.
I know, other than like Instagram.
In real life. Yeah. And
I just have to point out, so Ellen is a boss fitness instructor and she's got her headset mic, but a mic's a mic. And it just makes me so happy because we just love group fitness. So tell us your story. What's your story with food and fitness?
I mean, I basically go grocery shopping with this microphone on my head.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I don't know where to start. I'm super excited to be here. I feel like I already love your audience. My story probably starts with, and none of this you really know about me, Katie, but I was a skinny kid, like knobby-kneed, complete tomboy that somehow, and I know how now, gained weight quickly in high school. So I became very self-conscious, overweight, was still super athletic. It was like weird. I was like an overweight athlete. And so my story into group fitness is kind of a funny one, but or funny and also a little bit cheesy and corny and wonderful. But yeah, I started struggling with food and body image in high school.
So what was your story that, I mean, did you start taking group fitness classes? You said you were into sports, you know, did you always struggle with this kind of, like, what was your body image journey, especially during those high school years?
Okay. So I remember like very vividly one day, I remember becoming aware that I was gaining weight and like that I was no longer like a skinny quote unquote girl. And I remember like specifically one day coming home on my lunch hour and sitting down like at a table and feeling like I literally like felt the sensation of like my fat on my back, like my back touching my back in a way that I hadn't felt that like physical sensation before. And I just remember like that moment feeling like there's something wrong with me. There is something wrong with me because I can't not finish all my food on my plate and my friends can like stop eating with food on their plate. I just started to feel like there's something wrong with me. I'm not normal. There's something wrong. And then of course, those are years where you're like hyper self-conscious and very, you know, into appearance. And so I just felt like there was something broken. I felt like I was going to just continue to gain weight and gain weight and gain weight, which I probably would have. I also had no idea about nutrition. Like I didn't realize that, you know, a bagel with cream cheese and orange juice wasn't a good breakfast and that it was high, you know, that it was a lot of calories and really devoid of a lot of nutrition. And I was eating candy bars out of the candy bar machines that were in school. And this was in Illinois, by the way. And then I would do Taco Bell like every day for lunch. I would do Taco Bell. And I didn't know that that was, I didn't know that, that I didn't understand
that yeah, the eating of a teenager, right? You just didn't know. Yeah.
And then I actually developed a pretty heinous eating disorder very quickly. And what's interesting is I wanted to, like, I was like, oh, this could be a solution for this problem I have with this rapid weight gain. There's people that have this anorexia. There's people that are bulimic. If I could figure that out, then maybe I could like look good again. And so I kid you not, like I went to the library, I like started studying and it's very sick, but I wanted to learn how to develop an eating disorder. And I did. And there was other things going on in like my life. My parents got divorced and there was kind of this like perfect storm for me to develop this eating disorder. And so I lost a ton of weight. I got a ton of praise for it. I was simultaneously developing like a crippling, suffocating depression that was directly related to the eating disorder and my lifestyle. And it just was a really perfect storm. And it was a horrible, dark time in my life. And then I did get some treatment. So I did become free of this eating disorder more than 20 years ago. And it wasn't like an overnight fix, but fitness and group fitness and my sort of entry into that world did play a role, as did some other things in my freedom from food obsession.
It's interesting that you say, you know, there was a lot of praise and that we're going to talk probably more on this today as we talk about, you know, how group fitness and things evolve in that. But what was it like going through that of this? Like you said, I feel like there's something wrong with me. It's almost like you're that self-fulfilling prophecy, like something's wrong with me, I can fix it. And then there's people telling you like, yes, you fixed it.
Exactly. I mean, I started receiving, you know, attention from men, you know, women and men saying, you've never looked better. What are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Keep it up. Just you know, horrible reinforcement from something that was actually very seriously life-threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it, that moment for you where you did get help? Was it a friend? Was it a family member? Because that, you know, I think a lot of people listening, you know, regardless of what their story looks like with food or, you know, that coping mechanism, it's hard when you're in it, right? Like you said, you're in this deep place.
Yeah.
You don't realize it when you're there. So what was that for you to seek treatment?
Well, it's pretty easy to hide a lot of the behavior that I was doing, which was binging, purging, abusing laxatives, over-exercising, starving myself. It was stealing money from my employer at the time. So I had money to buy food to binge and purge on. I mean, it was a lot of destructive behaviors that I was able to hide from everybody. But what I couldn't hide is like the extreme weight loss that was happening. And so eventually my later to be my husband's sister called my mom and said, something's wrong with Ellen. And then I ended up going into an outpatient 5 month long hospitalization, you know, outpatient, and where they locked the toilets. And there was a little bit of nutrition counseling. We met with a nutritionist. There was some psychological counseling, and it was the whole nine yards. And that was a very important piece in my recovery from eating disorder, because for one, I did get to a normal body weight in there because we had to eat 3 square meals a day. That's where I learned about nutrition too. Like for the first time, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, foods are different. And, so one, I was getting this good education. I was getting counseling, but it was really, really big deal that I was actually gaining weight and got to a normal weight again, because my brain wasn't working right, you know, starving. And so when my brain started to work right, I mean, literally I was like in a fog, forgetting everything. It was just a fog, and getting to a normal body weight was actually really important in starting to recover in other ways.
Yeah. And that recovery process, you know, 5 months, I think for people listening who aren't familiar with, you know, eating disorder recovery and what that looks like, 5 months sounds like a long time, but really in the grand scheme of things, it's such a short time. So walk us through, you know, obviously you are full-time fitness now. Walk us through kind of how that recovery evolved for you, both personally, but also how it influenced you, you know, professionally as the years went on.
Yeah. I mean, for one, I just chuckled when you said 5 months sounds like a long time, because that was just a small part of like the recovery process. That was probably the biggest and most important first step. And then it's a lot like, I believe that it is a lot like an addiction, like alcoholism or drug addiction, because I felt powerless to change. Like I would say, you know, please God, today I don't want to binge and purge today. Please don't, you know, please, you know, please. And just, I would just promise myself and, you know, beg
like bargain. And yeah.
Yes. And, and yet it was like, I couldn't control myself. And so I felt like I would fail every day. The hospitalization kind of broke that pattern. I mean, I really wasn't able to fail very much. I did go home at night, and there were relapses that happened during that window of time at night, but I would still go back and have this window of 9 hours or 10 hours or however it was I was there, where I was, you know, I couldn't really do that. But what was I going to say to your question about, the process? So it really started with that first step, and then I did get to a healthy body weight, and I did get married. Okay. So I'm going to really quickly time lapse here. And then I got pregnant right away, and that was huge. And I'm not suggesting that the remedy for eating disorders is go get pregnant, but it was definitely a part of my recovery, because I was like, okay, now I'm no longer doing what I'm doing to me. Like this is now, I really like it, it shifted everything. And that being said, I still struggled for the entire pregnancy with eating disordered behavior and eating disorder relapse and eating disorder thinking. It was the best I'd ever done. And I was definitely like starting to be like, you know, 3 steps forward, only 1 step back, you know, but it definitely gave me something to live for and something to be healthy for, and something, if I wasn't loving myself, I wanted to love that baby. And so it was a huge part of my recovery. And then though, after my son, he's 23 now, after he was born, I still then struggled, because now I had this postpartum body and I had gained weight, because that's what happens, because that's what's supposed to happen when you're pregnant. And so there was some relapsing that happened postpartum there. And that is the era that I entered group exercise.
Oh my goodness. Let's pause there real quick, because I think it's just interesting about your story of how getting pregnant, because again, that's such another time, like where your body is changing so much. And during that time, right, you mentioned you still struggled with some of those disordered behaviors. Were you again getting feedback? Because I feel like it's so common for people to make comments on other women's bodies when they're pregnant. And I can't imagine like being a little pregnant Ellen, like how painful and challenging that probably was to hear that.
Yeah. To this day, and I've heard it on listening to some of your other podcast episodes, like to this day, I never compliment someone on their weight loss. I just,
if you just don't, we don't know that, we don't know their story. Yeah.
We don't know that the weight loss is healthy. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ever imply that they look better because they're smaller, because I don't think that, you know, and because it's painful to be the one on that end of that.
So you found group fitness. What was
okay,
that like?
So I was postpartum, by the way, like still struggling with like, you know, the vestiges of depression and all the body dysmorphia. And P.S., we didn't even talk about this, but I was definitely what I call, and maybe you call, exercise bulimic. I mean, I was a slave to exercise. I literally hated it. It was penance. I was like trying to grind out 1,000 calories a day on a treadmill or whatever. And exercise was not fun. It was just another way I was in a world of hell with food obsession, body obsession, calorie counting obsession, the whole nine yards. I mean, for a few years in there, from age like 19 to 21 or so, all I could think about from the second I woke up in the morning to the second I went to bed at night was food, calories, food, calories, food, calories. And it's just no way to live. I thought, I'm like, there's something wrong with me. Other people think about other things. I can tell other people like think about other things and have other things fill their lives. There's something wrong with me. So,
it's a mental illness though. Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of times people don't see that and maybe don't recognize, because that talk about food, that talk about our bodies, that thinking about it, it's unfortunately so normalized in a lot of our culture.
It's so normalized. Yeah. It's marketed every time we turn on anything with a power switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sex and beauty and size and, you know. So anyway, okay. So back to your question. So I'm just setting the stage again. I had body issues. I'd just given birth. I had exercise issues. I had depression issues. I was a brand new mom. And also I didn't want to have, like, I didn't see myself as, I wasn't trying to have a baby. It was a surprise. And so I also was like, wait, I don't know how to be a mom. I'm not like I was never the kind of girl that like wanted to hold the baby, because if I did, the baby would cry a lot. So I was like not the kind of girl, like teenager, that wanted to babysit and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I was terrified of their soft spot and the whole thing. And so this whole window of my life, and I was so young too, I was 21 when my son was born, I was just kind of a mess. And so I thought that aerobics, and back then that is still what they called it, I really thought that that was like what kind of wimpy, non-athletic, not serious fitness people did. And I thought, you know, I was someone that was big into sports and, you know, I fancied myself like this big athletic person, and that was somehow a fitness lifestyle that was beneath me. But since my doctor was like, you need to ease back in. Oh, and believe me, the whole time I was pregnant, I was on an elliptical. Believe me, I was like working out every day, still messed up. But so then the baby was born, and then you're supposed to take like 6 weeks off. So it was like taking my 6 weeks off, And I'm like, okay, the doctor says I have to ease back in. So maybe I'll do one of those like easy wimpy, like aerobics.
I'll do one of those wimpy classes.
I'll ease back in with a wimpy thing. So I'll do aerobics. So at this point in my life, I was living in Oregon and I walked into a class and I had the worst experience.
Oh no. That's the opposite of what I thought you were going to say.
I know. It is the opposite. So it was a step aerobics class. I didn't have rhythm. I was like wearing like, I don't know, like an extra large men's shirt, because that's what you do when you are eating disordered. And also that's what you do when you're trying to hide your postpartum body. So I had like this, I was like wearing my husband's clothes and hiding in the back row. And I was terrible. And I, you know, step class, Katie, like there's a whole language. I didn't know what a mambo cha-cha-cha repeater blah-bitty-blah was.
Step class was the very first format that I taught and I didn't get trained in it. I went through this beautiful like training program to become an instructor. And then I got the schedule back and it was like, Katie, step aerobics to the people who have been taking step aerobics longer than you've been alive at noon. And I was like, what? So yeah. PTSD from step aerobics. I still love it. But anyways.
Oh, I ended up teaching it too. And side note, if you happen to be an instructor listening, if you can teach step aerobics, you can teach anything.
Yeah, right. That's just like baptism by fire.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it was step class. I couldn't, you know, I was constantly pointed the wrong direction. I couldn't catch my breath because it actually turns out was a good exercise. Anyway, the instructor says over the microphone, you know, there's a beginner's class on such and such a day at such a time. Like you should go to that class.
Looking at you in the back row.
Totally called me out. I was already self-conscious. I already was embarrassed. I already felt like stupid being there. And then she spotlighted me.
That's so sad.
I was literally like, I'm never doing this again. And then I don't know why, but I really wish I did know why. But a few days later, I decided to go back. And I just went to someone. I went to someone else, and it was like a whole different. Now this is the part you expected. Here comes the piece of the part of the story you were probably expecting me to say. But when I came back, this instructor like was so welcoming. She made me feel so successful. I know I still sucked at it. Was still step aerobics. I still sucked at it.
Yeah.
But she made me feel welcome and successful and connected to the people in the room. And like, long story short. And P.S., I do want to say this. She was significantly older than me, like at least 3 decades. And I love that part of the story because it didn't matter. Like it has nothing to do with age in the fitness business or, you know, nothing. I was like, she was probably in her later 50s and I was just starting my 20s. And yet I had this chemistry and connection to her and she changed my life. Like really, truly, like I would not be where I am today or who I am today, but for her and her ability to connect. And so I started doing all the things she did, you know, all the classes, no matter what time, what format. And I fell in love with not just her, but that community of like her students. And then I like gradually moved up to the front row and was like, but, here's the part of the story that I can't wait to just share with you and also your listeners. I felt like, well, I noticed that I was smiling. Like I noticed that the muscles that make you smile were working.
Like, why does my face, why do my cheeks hurt?
Yeah. I was like, okay, it's the only hour of an entire 24 hours that I feel happy. Is in this, and it's exercise. Like I thought I hated exercise. And so this actually becomes, yes, I went to the hospital. Yes, I needed that education. Yes, I became pregnant. Yes, I needed that reason outside of my own self. But it was actually group fitness that was like the final piece of my recovery, because it's just one little change and everything started to fall into balance. So I realized I was happy. I realized I was enjoying exercise. I realized that like, oh, okay, I'm eating because I really want fuel and energy for this class. And I'm enjoying my food and I'm enjoying my exercise. And like,
it's like a domino effect.
A domino, yes. And like the vestiges of the depression and like all of the pieces just started to my life just sort of started to find balance, and I don't mean perfection, and I still struggled. And, you know, like I said, postpartum, there was some relapse things and things that would trigger a relapse, I think really similar to like alcoholism or something. But, you know, eventually those stretches between binging and purging and thinking like an eating disordered person, those stretches would get longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. And so group exercise was a big part of that. So I guess it's probably not surprising that I was like, I want to do this. Like what she's doing and what she did for my life, I want to do that.
Hey friends, hate to interrupt, but I just wanted to remind you, if you're enjoying today's episode, we would love for you to join us over on the Facebook page. Just click the link in the show notes wherever you're listening, request to join, answer a few questions so we make sure that you're not a robot, and let's continue this conversation of how to be more confident, more fierce versions of ourselves.
So then you got certified and then what?
Yeah, I mean, like I didn't right away. I lacked a lot of confidence. And I had a couple more babies, like bam, bam. But I did study her for a couple years and just kind of like, I just really paid attention to how she was, because she was the perfect like mentor for me, because she just created such a safe space. And so then we moved to a different part of the state. And we joined a gym, and I like volunteered in the nursery so I could have a free membership.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
You know? And then like the first class, the instructor was like, oh, she was the coordinator. And she was like, hey, we need instructors. If anyone's interested, come see me after class. So that was sort of that's what started. I started teaching body pump and then actually step aerobics.
Oh my goodness.
Got my ACE certification. And, you know, back then we had to, you know, you had to get a primary first back in that day.
And now with your own format, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So, yeah. You know, throughout this time, and I also want to talk about your art, which we'll get to as well, but like, how did you get to that place of like body respect and body acceptance? Like, especially as then you got pregnant again and your body was changing. I mean, what did that process look like? Like, were there still a lot of those mean thoughts about your body? How did those evolve?
Well, okay, hopefully put a pin in that. Hopefully I will not forget that you just asked me that. But I did want to say, because it's related to this question sort of obliquely, that my eating disorder really stemmed from my just loss of self. I was, I think being a people pleaser can be a good thing. I mean, it can be in check with healthy boundaries. Being a person that has a people-pleasing nature can be a good thing. Like, you're not a jerk. And like, it's a good thing. If you're a people pleaser, you tend to be like a good employee. And so it has its like redeeming qualities, but it can be a really, really, really insidious disease. Can I call people pleasing a disease?
It can become
something that can, a minimum, rob us of our joy. And it really was the root of my eating disorder. You know, a lot of like eating disordered literature talks about like having a controlling mother. And I didn't. I mean, she's a strong, powerful Italian woman, but she wasn't controlling. I was just a pleaser. And I just, to the point where I no longer had a voice in this world, I wouldn't express my feelings anywhere. In fact, it often felt like that's what really was the root of the bulimia, is like, stuffing and bottling, like metaphorically stuffing and bottling up everything I think and feel about everything in my life, where I want to go to college, who I want to marry, what I want, everything, what I'm allowed to think. You know, I was raised in a very conservative upbringing. We weren't allowed to listen to secular music. We weren't allowed to this and that. And like, I think just a lot of just, you can really lose yourself in that. And then I think that was really a lot of the root. So I know I'm trying to get back to your original question.
No, this is good. Keep going.
I think that I had to learn, because appreciating and loving my body is a byproduct of what I'm about to say. I had to learn that my voice and my opinions and my feelings mattered, and that it was okay to express them. And if people didn't like it and people didn't like me, that was okay. And like, so that's where it starts.
That's so connected to body though. That's so connected.
And I think that that's when, exactly. So I think that is so connected to body. Well, I mean, look at us. We are mind and body completely and totally you cannot separate a physical, you know, I like to like liken it to like a teardrop. Like there's a physical thing, like it's a physical thing that you're tear duct and it's salt water and it's, you feel it run down your face, but that's from a emotion. Like we're so interconnected and yes. So like learning to have a voice and to believe I was even worth standing up for and that it was okay for people not to like me, that all relates to me accepting my body. And I have been much thinner. I have been much, quote, fitter looking, but like I have never appreciated and respected my body more.
I think it's really interesting, a part of your story too, that you mentioned like that very first thought that is so vivid in your mind is that physical sensation of your body fat, like touching.
Oh, right. Right.
And I do a lot of work with clients talking about like tapping into that physical, like what are we feeling physically in our body for that exact reason that you just said. The body holds on to so much of those emotions, and every emotion that we feel, we think it's just like in our heart, but we feel that physically in different ways in the body. So that's so important. Yeah. So for you, how did that, you know, I'm sure like that group fitness piece played a role as far as like your body and appreciating your body.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, like sort of the weird journey that I went on, because I was skinny kid, overweight in high school. And then I got to a normal weight and underweight and lots of praise for that. We already talked about that. And then I got pregnant. So my body was like skinny, overweight, underweight, pregnant, overweight. And then I finally
cycling,
like, but actually for the very first time in my life, after all those sort of changes to my body, then I actually for the first time kind of landed on a healthy body weight and a healthy headspace, like really for the first time. I had been at that weight before and been wretched, and then, you know, ended at that weight again in a healthy place.
Mm-hmm. So how would you define, you know, like body acceptance, and what are some of the challenges of that, you know, especially in our society, but also just as a fitness professional?
I guess I would define it as just freedom from obsession around thoughts about it. Like I really think we've arrived when we're not preoccupied with wondering, you know, what we look like. And in the fitness industry, of course, it's challenging for a lot of reasons, because one, what we wear as fitness professionals is form fitting, you know? So like as an instructor, you actually need to wear form fitting clothes so they can see spinal alignment, for example. It's so important.
There's like a reason.
There's a reason you can't just wear like a baggy t-shirt like I did when I first stepped into a class. When you're the instructor. So that's something. And then there's so much, like we touched on this earlier, and I know you've talked about this in some of your other episodes, but there's so much like marketing out there around what fitness looks like. And so there's of course the pressure to conform to like that fitness professional that has a six pack abs. And, you know, for me to look like that, I would be not healthy and happy. So there's just accepting what my body looks like when I'm happy and healthy, and just knowing that that is my happy, healthy. And that's what my body looks like, whether there's a six pack or not.
Did you ever feel right? Because you and I come from that same space of the company that we used to work for, where we would be on stage a lot and filming a lot. And so, cause that's a different level of being a fitness professional and being, you know, kind of that focus and that attention. So were there ever moments where your story, those insecurities, that feeling of not accepting your body, did that come up, and how were you able to kind of navigate through that in those vulnerable moments?
Oh, that's such a great question. It absolutely did. Like when I first, you know, was accepted as a master trainer and had that role and title, I was like, oh, exactly. My mind went right back to like, oh, I need to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And
I had that same thing happen. That's why that's interesting.
And now I see, and though I didn't like fall back into what you think of as eating disordered behaviors, like binging, purging, starving, I did get into in a not a good way, like that whole restrictive mindset of like, oh, I shouldn't. I started like, I shouldn't have seconds, even though I want them, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I should try one of these fad diets. Like, X, Y, or Z. Like maybe I should do this style of eating that these people talk about. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should experiment. Maybe I should count calories again and just be safe about it this time. Yes, I fell into that. And I still like Facebook memories reminds me that when I was like a new master trainer that first year or two, that yeah, I was smaller. So I did kind of fall back into, but along with that goes that comes like it's along with that type of restrictive eating comes pain mm-hmm. and sadness and discontent and self-criticism. And it's a person that I don't like, and I'm not, so I don't know how I like got out of that, but over the years of working with that company and that role that is very front and center and on stage and on video and stuff, I did thankfully revert back to the, like who I am today, which is mm-hmm. confident and not trying to restrict. I can't tell myself like, oh, you can't have this food, or, oh, this is this many calories, or, oh, like I can't. I was like watching an Instagram story from kind of a big fitness professional that I know. And he was like, the story popped up in my stories mm-hmm. and he was like weighing his food in a scale, and he's super influential trainer to celebrities. And he was weighing his food and he was like, stop not weighing everything you put in your mouth. And
I was like, cringe.
I was cringy. I was like, cringy. I will never weigh something. I will never do that. And he's preaching it as his story of health. And I was like, it's so unhealthy to me, you know, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I think too, I don't know if you feel the same way, you know, with our company basically one day dissolving. I think we talk about there's this pressure to look a certain way, to be a certain way. But just like with anything, unless you are true to yourself and true to your identity, right? That's your body, but also what's going on in your head and in your heart. That's what matters at the end of the day, because all these external things could be gone in.
That's right.
In a snap of a finger.
That's right. And I don't think that the fitness industry has always gotten it right. And then, you know, in terms of like, and I know we're going to get into this, but when I decided to create Warrior Rhythm, there were some things that I was like, I'm going to do differently.
And I was going to bring that up of yeah. Huge shout out to Ellen. That was one thing I was just so impressed. First of all, I'm so proud of you. Just
thank you
for what you've created. But something that really stood out to me was your, I'm going to assume intentionality about celebrating all bodies.
Yeah.
And you can see in the way that, you know, you train instructors and the people that you elevate, it's all body types and body yeah. diversity, which is so important. So share with us, you know, first of all, what is Warrior Rhythm and okay. what actually inspired you to create it?
Okay. Well, yeah, this is a perfect segue where we are right here in our conversation, because the company that we worked for together as colleagues, like one day closed its operations. And, you know, we found out one day in an email. I didn't get the email. So I found out I got the email, but first I got a phone call yeah. from one of our other colleagues saying, did you get your email? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Katie, I don't know, you probably felt the same way, but I was devastated. Mm-hmm. My identity was tightly wound around the title Master Trainer. I'm also a Lululemon ambassador. And so I remember like one of my very first thoughts was like, is Lululemon still going to want me? Which now I know it's just ridiculous that I thought that, because
you're right. It became our identity.
Yeah. I thought that was my value to them, which is so, I couldn't have been farther from the truth as it turns out. But yeah, it was my identity. I also loved particularly, well, more than one, but I really loved teaching a couple of the formats, and yeah, it just became like, I attached my sense of worth and value and found myself quickly thinking like, now what am I worth? mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And which is silly. But I was also sad. I was like, I was also feeling like I was mourning the loss of mm-hmm. a friend, of a exercise modality that had done a lot of healing in my life, both emotionally and physically from some injuries and stuff. And so I ended up in the sort of like throes of grief. This is very quickly. So like, this is within like a span of like a week of getting that email. I went to take a gentle yoga class at one of my friend's little boutiques in town. And she was kind of talking about how sometimes we need to take something off our plates in order to grow and, or in order to find something new or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it was something along that vein. And I just remember like distinctively there in that moment, deciding like on a yoga mat. I love that. I love that. Like this was born on a yoga mat. I was on a yoga mat and I was like, I'm going to create a format and it's going to be different. And then I just decided to do it. And I didn't think it was going to become what it is today. I wasn't like, oh, I just thought I was creating it for me. Like it's something that because I'm a coordinator means I can like decide what goes on the schedule and stuff like that. And obviously I was teaching the other formats there. So they needed to be replaced at some point. So at that point, I'm not saying it didn't cross my mind, like maybe this could be something that I market and other instructors want to teach. I think that was part of that. Maybe that was there from the beginning. Maybe that came later, but I definitely knew I was going to create something for me. And just sort of like the quick little backstory behind that is one of the brands, Katie, that we were teaching at one point, we were allowed to, do you remember this? Do you remember when we were allowed to kind of like use our own music, do a little bit of our own moves? Do you remember that?
This may have been like when I first, maybe when I was teaching illegally.
Oh, okay. It was legal. What I'm talking about was totally legal. And there was a phase of that brand where in the manual and everything, and this is a lot of years ago, but it's when I got certified in it, we were allowed to do our own music. And like, it was like sort of like you had some, you could kind of like adapt it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like teaching at some strange, like I called it the tire, which is, I won't even bore your listeners with that funny story, but I called it the tire because it kind of smelled like a tire because the floors were made of rubber and it was a garage. It was cute. It was a boutique before boutiques were a thing. And yeah. I was teaching this version of this format that later became the master training one. And we were allowed to do kind of, so I would play like crazy music and like I would add in kettlebells and it was crazy. It was really different. And then, so anyway, I just kind of knew that with that brand that I loved, that all along, like as a master trainer, I was like, if I had control, I would play this kind of music. And if I had control, I would kind of separate out these types of movements and I would warm up the, you know, I would start seated and do a little gentler spine warm up first and da 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 da. I would just do some things differently if I could wave a magic wand. So this was like, okay, I can wave a magic wand now. Done. I can just start from scratch. Yeah. So sorry, that was kind of a long-winded answer.
No, I love it. So explain to our audience what exactly Warrior Rhythm is and like how it's evolved.
Okay. So basically it's like this badass conglomeration of yoga with HIIT training and weightlifting. And it's kind of like a rebellious kind of a vibe. The yoga is yoga. Like there's a meditative and mindfulness component to the brand. That's like an important flavor to the brand. We start on the mat. Like we start seated or in child's pose or in tabletop. We start down and we start with a real true check-in, like a really true mindful, whether it's like an affirmation or a reading or something like that. But like we start with some mindfulness and then we actually end with some meditation in our cool down. And then, so there's sort of a through line or a theme to a certain workout. So it's this kind of gradual like warm up. And then we get into a couple of sections that are weightlifting and then we do some HIIT training and then we circle back to some really beautifully choreographed yoga, but it's different. Like it's like, you know, Nirvana, or there might like
the
be a
best little of both worlds. I love it.
Yeah. So like a true like yoga purist might not love my playlist, and that's okay with me.
not the class for you. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay with me. So yeah, it's just sort of this like kind of badass take on yoga and yoga, a different sort of presentation for like what we classically think yoga is. So. And I am a yoga instructor as well. Like I did go through that training
You're like, for all the yogis out there, yeah, like in their heads, yes, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But I love that. There's like, you know, it's something for everyone. So variety, right? So,
and it sounds so parallel to, you know, part of your story to just this brand and how it's evolved. And I just love that. So I briefly want to touch too. Obviously, this is a podcast, so our audience can't see you. We'll put you all over Instagram. But you're an artist as well. You're super talented. Yeah. So how is art a part of your talent? And why is this an important part of like body image and body healing?
You know, I don't, it's so funny that you're asking me questions that I don't know that I've fully, you know, I'm 45, I'm almost 46 years old. P.S. I really think coming into your 40s is really helpful in starting to love yourself.
Yes, I love that.
So my advice for you, like young women, is just hang on, it's coming. But it's funny that you're asking me some questions that I don't know that I've really like fully articulated even to myself, but I do think a lot of I think back on like, you know, junior high school, like painful for me. And I remember being really, I was not popular. And like, I remember being like sort of laughed at and all that, those kind of like things. We didn't have money. And so I wore like off-brand clothes. And I like remember being kind of shunned for not like fitting in and wearing those brands and looking like that. And so I just think like there's probably like always been a part of me that really wanted to be able to express myself uniquely and differently and be okay with that. And I think all these things, the fitness brand that I created, the way my bodysuit tattoo, which you were just asking about, I just think, and even my art that I do as an artist, like as my hobby, all these things, I think it's just, I've always really wanted. And like I told you about my conservative upbringing, like we weren't allowed to this, that, and that. And PS, like my first marriage, like it was very oppressive and I wasn't allowed to decide what I was going to wear or who I was going to talk to or at what time of day I was allowed to be on the phone. I think I went from this like oppressive upbringing to this oppressive marriage. And then I think this last, you know, couple decades of my life, decade, maybe even more so, has been really about just coming into who I am and expressing myself unapologetically. I want the Warrior Rhythm feel to be exactly like that, so that the instructor, the participant, has that feeling of, this is who I am on this mat. It's safe. This is what I look like. And I don't know if you saw when I posted our mission statement, but it is like, you know, to be this stay wild culture that cares more about self-acceptance than caloric expenditure. I mean, that's
so good.
It's our whole like vibe is like that. And thank you for noticing and mentioning the marketing materials. It's so deliberate. I wanted so much representation. I wanted to show different body types and also like poses look different in different bodies. And it's important for people to see that. Like, quote, thin looking people, like a pose might look different on their body than it does on someone that has maybe more meat on them when they're in pigeon or something like that. So it just
right. It's not right or wrong.
No,
it's just different.
Nope. It's just different. Yeah. And I've gotten so much private messages, public messages, so much gratitude for showing different body types. And I'm super proud of myself for that too, because you know, it's not the way all brands do it. A lot of brands put a lot of six packs out there on their marketing and, you know, quote, you know, young,
beauty
beautiful.
Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me so hopeful for our industry because I see it. Like you said, I see a lot of where we've done wrong, but I also am starting to see brands like yours evolving and for me, it brings me just so much hope of like, who knows, maybe in the next decade, it will be different, right? Because there are so many opportunities, like when you first walked into the class where it was a safe space, but there's also still so many areas of group fitness where it's not a safe space and all bodies don't feel welcome. We may say they feel they're welcome, but is it really inclusive? Is it really adaptable to all bodies and all abilities? So I just love that you're intentional about it. And I think it's really huge. And people listening, you know, take that into consideration when you're looking at different marketing and things like that. Oh, Ellen, this has been so good. I feel like we could talk for hours. So just to wrap up, you know, what, you know, last tips would you have for someone who's just still struggling to love their body or even feel neutral towards it? You know, you've had such a journey. So what tips would you have?
Well, the first, like my biggest message, it's like such a, I'm so thankful that you gave me a platform to talk about my eating disorder. I don't do that enough. I ought to do it more. And it's so pervasive and prevalent that I need to talk more about it, because the main thing I want to say is there's hope. I want that to be my main message, because I literally felt like there was no hope. I literally for nearly 3 years thought I'm doomed to this existence and this obsessive thinking and this compulsive behavior. And I'm doomed. Like, I don't see any way out. I don't see any hope. I now know that I'm killing myself and I still can't stop. Mm-hmm. And so if I wish someone in that dark time could have said to me, and that I would have believed them, that there's hope. So that's my main message. If for some reason, even one of your listeners is struggling with the throes of, or the vestiges even of an eating disorder, is there is hope, and there can be complete and total freedom from food obsession and body dysmorphia and exercise obsession, and complete and total freedom from that. So that's my number one. Number one is there is hope. But yeah, just give it time, because there was no overnight. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I woke up one day and it was gone. It was a lot of work and a lot of stumbling, you know, forward and falling back and stumbling forward and falling back until there was a lot less falling back.
I think people think too, it's this common belief that body image is just okay, it's better, you know, and like you said, it evolves and it's a journey. And just like you said, you know, in your 40s and you've, over the past decade, you've grown so much into body acceptance and body image healing and who you are. And so, gosh, like for somebody, you know, a younger audience listener, like, gosh, there's still so much life to live and it's constantly evolving and it will evolve. And there's hope. I love that. Oh, so good. So where can our listeners find you and learn more?
You know, I really live on Instagram the most. So that's at Ellen DeWord. And I hang out there quite a bit. And I try to listen back and have conversations that are authentic and meaningful there. Facebook, I'm also on, but it's a little harder. Like my Facebook account is full. And I don't always see and hear the dialogues I want to see and hear on there. So I tend to live more on Instagram, but.
Well, we will be sure to link all your information in our show notes. And of course, we'll link to Warrior Rhythm, whether our audience wants to get certified, take a class. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And I think we'll have a link to your virtual classes as well.
Yes, great. So anyone can join me with Warrior Rhythm, Warrior Strength, and take a class. And then I also, just for your listeners, Katie, I am providing a promo code for the certification. So the promo code is FFHR for Fit Friends Happy Hour, FFHR, and you can get certified for half off. So the certification is, if you're like not a fitness professional, that's okay. It is entry level. So like, we teach you how to teach. If you've never taught before, we teach you how to move to music and how to cue and all those things that someone would need to know if they want to teach a class, but have never taught before.
And even if you're listening and you're like, I don't know, it's such a just fun experience to just grow. Like, it's such a great personal development type, get outside your comfort zone, learn something new. And it's fun. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Ellen, thank you so much. It's been a joy just hearing your story. And thank you for your bravery, your courage, and just sharing your message.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.